Our theme verse that you can see up on the slide from Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus said that. He said it because he was explaining that it's the first and the greatest commandment. But do you know where he wasn't pulling that out of his head. He was taking that from Scripture. He was quoting Scripture when he said this verse. Do you know where it's from? That's right, Deuteronomy 6. If you have a Bible or a phone, would you pull that up on your phone or turn to that? Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's where the theme verse comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 6. How many of you have Facebook? Have a Facebook account? Okay. I have a friend on Facebook. I really enjoy Facebook, and I know there are dangers to Facebook. It can be addictive, and you can end up scrolling through pictures and stories, and all of a sudden, a bunch of time has gone by, and I'm like, oh my word, where are my children? I just forgot I was even a mom. So you have to be careful about Facebook, but Facebook is actually, I've also really learned a lot from Facebook, and I have a lot of really great friends, and they post some very helpful, insightful, edifying, educational things, and so I'm thankful. And one of my friends posted a story that was very touching to me. He said, "Tonight my son lost it. We had told him only a few more minutes on the Wii. We try to limit screen time. Yet when those minutes were up, he lost it. He snapped at me and threw his controller down. He denied any wrongdoing. He didn't own up to his bad attitude. I talked to him and explained that because of his choices, there would be absolutely no Wii time tomorrow. He stomped off to his room, huffing, and shut the door. Minutes later, he emerged. He walked over and asked me to help him put on his pajamas. He's 7 years old. He knows how to put on his pajamas, but in his own way, he was showing his brokenness. He also goes to sleep with no problem, but tonight he asked that I snuggle him. He just wanted to be with me and wanted to be close to me. Y'all, we have made choices and decisions in our lives that have been in direct disobedience to God. We've talked back, we've huffed and puffed and questioned his word, and we're miserable. But you know what? God is waiting for us. He is waiting for us to humbly approach the throne of grace, to ask if we could have some help putting on our pajamas because we don't know how to adequately express our brokenness. All we know is we so desperately want to be near him. Maybe this is you. You've screwed your life up and are so far from God that you have no clue how to come back around. God's waiting. He loves you. Tonight, before you go to sleep, you don't need to know the perfect words. Just tell him you need help putting on your pajamas, that you're sorry, and that you desire to be near him and have a relationship with him again." And when I read that, I thought, oh, wow, that is such a sweet story. Because it's such a sweet story of a father noticing his son's brokenness, even when his son didn't really have the words to express it. And I thought, this is how God feels towards us. This is as our father. And Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus prays for us to the Father, and the Spirit groans for us when we don't have words. Our God loves us so much. And as women who have a heart after God, we must love him. Jesus said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. So being a woman after God's heart, means loving him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? If he came to you like he came to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" would you be able to say yes? when my husband and I got married, my husband added a little part to our vows. I can't remember exactly where in the wedding we said it, but I think it was when we exchanged rings and we said, you know, made the promises, and then we each said to each other, "With all that I have and all that I am, I love you." And that's what we told each other. And, you know, that's really what we're supposed to be telling God. With all that I am and all that I have, I love you. But either way, whether you can say that to the Lord or not, you may not be able to say that to the Lord. You may not be able to say, "I love you with all that I am and all that I have." But regardless of whether or not that's in your heart, He loves you. No matter how you feel towards Him, He loves you. And the Lord loves us in many ways. But one way in particular that I want to talk about is that the Lord loves us by giving us more of Himself. We know God died for us. He gave us Himself in that way. But he gives Himself for us more than that, because He gives Himself to us every single day, because He continues to work in our lives. As a Father, He cares for us. As a Shepherd, He watches over us. And as a Messiah, He continues to save us from ourselves every single day. But sometimes the problem that we have is we don't always feel like God loves us because bad things happen. Things happen in our lives that don't feel loving. Things happen that we don't understand. And so then it seems like maybe God doesn't actually really love us. Just like sometimes my kids think that I don't love them because I'm not giving them their way, or because I'm not taking care of them the way that they want me to, or the way that they think I should. But one pastor that I listened to when he was preaching, he explained it this way: God's love is not sparing us suffering and death. His love is mainly His showing us and giving us Himself in His glory. Do not measure the love of God for you by how much wealth, health, and comfort He brings into your life. If that was the measure of God's love in life, He hated the Apostle Paul. Measure God's love for you by how much of Himself He shows you. God does show us love by taking care of us. He does promise to provide for us. He does heal us, and He takes care of our needs, and He provides for us. He does do those things for us. But He also shows us love by letting bad things happen to us. And I really experienced this personally, that when I really became really aware and convinced of His love, it was actually through a really difficult time. I feel like God has used the experience of having children to show me His love almost more than any other experience in my life so far. When I conceived the first time, I was 28 years old. I just turned 38 this year. So it's been 10 years. For 10 years, I've been in this world of pregnancy and babies. And this has actually been the worst decade of my life, honestly. The past 10 years have been incredibly difficult. I've had a lot of health problems with pregnancy and having my kids kind of close together. 5 in 7 years has been challenging. I am not a baby person. I'm actually not really even much of a kid person. You know how people... I was trying to explain this to my husband, because my husband adores children, just absolutely adores them, which is a blessing and a gift. And so I'm trying to explain to him he can't understand, you know, why don't you like kids more? And I love my own children. You know, I love them as the people that they are, but I actually feel kind of uncomfortable with children. I never enjoyed working in the nursery when I was growing up. And, you know, some people, and I'm sure some of you are like this, are more introverted, and you feel uncomfortable in a social setting. You know that feeling where it's like, okay, I gotta talk to people. Oh, I don't, it's just not comfortable. You just much rather be by yourself at home, and you maybe feel a little bit awkward. Okay, that's how I feel around kids. When I'm with kids, I feel like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't understand them. I don't understand what they're thinking. Why are they doing that? Why are they acting like that? And I just feel uncomfortable, and I don't know how to talk to them. All that to say, having kids has not been super easy. But God has really used this time in my life in a powerful way, because during these years, I have come to love God more than what I thought was possible. And the reason is not because these years have been easy. And the reason is not because he always took the pain away when I was begging for him to take the pain away. The reason that I love him is because he gave himself to me. And I realized this 1 year at Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, our family does what many families do. We go around the table and we all say what we're thankful for. And when it got to my turn, I was trying to think of how to express that year what I was thankful for. And the thing that was in my heart was just that I was just thinking about how God had become so dear to me that year in those difficult times. And I had gone through extreme emotional challenges with pregnancy and my hormones getting really imbalanced. And I had even had dreams that were intense and that were demonic, like dreaming that Satan was talking to me. And it was a terrible, terrible time. But God had become so close to me during that time and had really comforted me during that time. And I was trying to think how to express. I just had this overwhelming feeling of love towards the Lord for how he had drawn near to me during that year. And I finally just, at the table, when it was my turn, I just said, I'm just thankful for God. I'm just thankful for him, that he is, that he exists, and that he has given himself to me this year. And I realized in that moment, I love him. I love God. You know, I've known my whole life that I'm supposed to love God. And now I realize and I'm experiencing, I really do. I love him. Because he has given me himself, not because he solved my problems. He didn't take the pain away, you know? I just went day after day after day in pain. I could hardly walk. I had to hold on to the walls just to walk around. He didn't fix it. But he loved me and he cared for me and he manifested himself to me, and he comforted me, and he spoke to me through his word, and he shared himself with me. Joni Erickson Tada is a quadriplegic. At 17 years old, she dove into a pool head first and broke her neck. And she is now in her 70s, I believe, and she has been in a wheelchair her entire life. And she has suffered intense pain. She does suffer intense pain every day. If you can imagine not being able to do anything yourself, having to have someone care for you in a wheelchair your whole life. But she says it this way: God doesn't prove his goodness to us by taking away our suffering. He proves it to us by giving us more of himself during our suffering. So I want you to remember, and I want to tell you, that the Lord loves us by giving us himself, both by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, but also by giving himself to us on a daily basis. So how do we love him? We love the Lord in two ways that are in this passage, and I'm going to try to show them to you very quickly. If you have on your phone or if you have a Bible, Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 5. This is where our theme verse starts. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between their eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Basically, God is saying, God's word, if you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, in verse 6 he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And then he goes on to list all these things that they're supposed to do with the word of God. Teach them to their children. Talk about them when they're sitting in their house. Talk about them when they're walking around or when they're driving in their car. Talk about them when they get up in the morning. Bind them to themselves, literally, on their hand and on their foreheads, and write them on their houses. God's saying, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Do you want to love God? How do we love him? We immerse ourselves in God's Word. It's everywhere in our lives. We're teaching it to our children. We're talking about it to each other, talking about it to ourselves, and even creating visual reminders in our houses, everywhere, God's Word. That's loving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And that's what God tells the children of Israel to do. We love the Lord by immersing ourselves and our lives in his word. And secondly, this is actually the third point if you're following along on the handout, we love the Lord by serving him and serving him alone. He says in Deuteronomy 6, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Think of it this way. What's the opposite of loving God? Loving something else. Or loving someone else. That's why God said, don't have idols. Now, the word idol is almost an immediate turnoff because, like, okay, we don't really have idols in our lives. But we actually do, unfortunately. The children of Israel worshipped physical idols. But even in our day and age, we do have idols. And let me define for you what an idol is, what it looks like in our time. An idol is anything that is more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. How do you know if you're worshiping an idol? How do you know if there's something in your life that's more important to you than God? A counterfeit God, this is another term, a counterfeit God is anything so controlling to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. Our idols today, we don't go out and make graven images. But today what we do is we take good gifts from God, good things. We take good things that are gifts from God. but we make them the ultimate things in our lives. And thereby we replace God in our affections. So in conclusion, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Number one, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Talk about it. Create visual reminders. And number two, look into your own heart. And on the back of your sheet, I actually gave you a little bit of homework. So I would encourage you sometime to do this in the next 24 hours. Ask yourself the two questions on the back of this sheet. What is so controlling to my life that should I lose it, my life would hardly feel worth living? Whatever fits under that category is probably actually an idol in your life. And the thing is, we all have them. The concept of worshiping an idol is not just a weird pagan ritual that only the children of Israel had trouble with. You might actually be surprised to find out how many idols you have in your own life if you really think about this. You might be surprised to find out what's really important to you. So, what is so controlling to my life that should I lose it, my life would hardly feel worth living? And then, how can I transfer my devotion to my Creator? I'm going to close now. I just want to say how much I have enjoyed this time with you all. God bless you. Trust in the Lord. Love the Lord. And pour out your heart. Thank you.